right, good morning. And this might be the first and only time at a 9:45 service where there's open seats, everybody. So I hope, soak it in. This will be it, okay, this will be it. All of you who braved the winter weather, I'm wearing white for the snow that we got. I know some of you are just adventurous people. You're like, we gotta go find, let's go, come on, let's go. And so I wanna say hello to all of you who made it. So glad that you're here. Everyone who's watching online, glad that we have that available to you wherever you're watching from. So glad you're joining us. And we're continuing this series that we're calling Real Christmas, where we're taking these Christmas movies and that we all know and all love, and we're using them to kind of bridge us towards the real Christmas story in a fresh way to be able to see those. Because here's the thing, and this actually happened to me this week, several times this week, because for a lot of us, during the season, isn't it true, Christmas movies are just on, aren't they, everybody? They're just kind of on, right? We're walking around, and this movie I had on this week as well, just walking around and doing stuff. But so what we want to do in this series, we're taking what's familiar during the Christmas season, and we're letting it point us to Jesus in a way so that we could see Jesus more clearly through the things that we are already doing. And today's movie is Home Alone. Home Alone, how many Home Alone fans are out there? It's top three for me, top three Christmas movies. I've already watched it all the way through four times already this season. And that's not very much for me, to be honest with you. I got to catch up on what I'm normally watching that at a pace of. But, and I know for some of you, there are lines or scenes in that movie, they live rent-free in your heads, right? Like the scene where he slaps his face with the aftershave and screams like he's giving birth, you know what I'm saying? And but my hands-down favorite scene in the movie is the one that we just watched. That's my favorite. No matter what I'm doing, and it happened this week, whatever, when I hear that, I have to go watch it. I love that scene. There's just something about it for me that gives me this moment when I watch it. Like Kevin's out there staring at the nativity scene, right? And he hears this choir singing this carol, and then he walks into this church, this big, beautiful church with these statues and the stained glass. And there's just something that grabs me every time I watch it. Here's what grabs me, that for Kevin, right, who was alone and scared and running, for the first time in the movie, he stops running, right? He slows down, he pauses, he sits, and he finds this peace and calm. And I love that they put this in the movie. I love that this is in there, that a church choir singing a Christmas carol does that for Kevin. Because here's the thing, there's something about these Christmas songs that we hear every year and that we've sung, you know, at least pieces of since we've been kids. They can do something in us, right? They can bring in something deeper. They can bring in something more spiritual. And so here's what we're gonna do today. Today's gonna be a little bit different, all right? It's gonna be a little bit of a different service. Randy and Brandon are here to help me. Because here's what we're gonna do this morning. We're going to walk through four carols, four songs of Christmas, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about each of them for a few minutes, and then here's what we're going to do. We are going to sing these Christmas carols, these four Christmas carols together in our seats. We don't have to stand up, sit down, stand up. We'll sing them in our seats or wherever you are, on your couch, in the kitchen, however you're watching this, to do it. And here's the thing. I want to do this for a few reasons. One, I think if we're not careful, that when we hear these songs, we can miss it. Completely miss what they're saying. They become background noise, like the movies, they're just kind of on. But I am telling you, when we look at these songs were written to proclaim the gospel in rich and very powerful ways. So that's one reason why I want to do it. And another reason is I think there is value in slowing down and bringing these in and for us singing them together that I hope will bring in something. I don't know. I hope it sticks for us this season, or at least over the next few weeks. And I'm really praying that God blesses it. I know it's going to be a little different. I think it's going to be great. I really do. So first song that I'm going to talk about, here's the first one that we're going to talk about and sing is, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Love that song. So we're going to, and why I want to start with this one is that this starts with an invitation specifically to all believers, to the church. This is actually, I was looking this up, this is one of the oldest Christmas carols that we have. It was written in the 1700s in Latin. And when we sing it, here's what we're doing. When we sing it, we are doing what the church has always done. We lift our voices in worship to Jesus, the King of Kings. And here's a few lines that stuck out to me as you guys see the lines up there. there. It's the first line, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. So right off the bat with this song, it's pointing to this picture of the church and how we should be, everybody, that we should be joyful, that we should be triumphant, and that we come together as a church with confidence. And you know, I've been thinking about this week. I mean, maybe some of us came in or some of us have been thinking we don't feel joyful right now, or triumphant is might not be the word that you use to describe how you feel. But see, this song, this is why it's so important. This song should remind us that because Jesus came, we should be joyful. That because Jesus came, we should walk in triumph. This song, here's the thing. This song calls us to stand courageous in the truth. Not about us and what we do, but come on, everybody, but about God and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. So we come, joyful, triumph. And then another line I love, yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Like, and to me, that's just so personal. Like, it always points me to the Psalm 63:1, that says, oh God, you are my God, and I will seek you. Christmas is more than acknowledging Jesus' birth. Here it is, it's us greeting him and opening our lives to him. And born this happy morning reminds us that this encounter with Jesus is a new beginning. His mercies are new every single morning. We greet you, born this happy morning, every morning for us. And then we have word of the Father now in flesh appearing. That's John, right? That's John 1. Jesus. So listen, everybody, Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't a great teacher. He is the eternal word of God who became human, who came near to us, who became visible and approachable. And so we come to him because he set himself down. He came to us to be with us. And so as we sing this song here in a moment, listen to God's invitation of us. Come. Come and worship him. Come and adore him. Come and behold him, Christ the Lord. Not because you have everything together, but because he came close to you. So we'll sing this. Let's go.
The Lord.
second one is one we sing every Christmas Eve, Silent Night, Silent Night. I love the story behind this. So here's how the story goes. The Silent Night was actually originally a poem that was written in 1816. These songs are so old and rich, by a priest. So a priest was walking out one morning. He was from a very simple small town in Austria, and he was walking up on the hillside, and he was wanting to write a poem, and he looked over the town, and it just captured his imagination of the shepherds in the field and thinking about the angels announcing the birth of the Messiah. So he wrote this poem on a hillside above his town. Thought that was neat. But the story goes like this. It was first sung 2 years later in a church in his area, not by him, but by another church. And the story goes that this was in a small village in Austria, and the church leaders were scrambling on Christmas Eve to try to get a service together. A fire burned down the organ that they had, and so they were trying to figure out how to worship without this organ, and so they decided to play this song to music, Silent Night, with only a guitar. I thought that was kind of neat. And what it did was it captured, playing it with this guitar, like captured the beauty, the simplicity of that song and how they did it, captured the beauty of Jesus being born, and the simplicity and the quietness of that night. And so the song begins, all is calm, all is bright. God can move in the stillness. I hope you know that. He can move. I think sometimes we miss God because we think the opposite, that he only moves in the loud, he only moves in the mountains moving kind of thing. But sometimes, listen everybody, God whispers, and we can only hear it when you slow down enough to hear him and to notice his whisper. I think this song reminds me of that. And then there's Son of God loves pure light. This points to John 1:4, right? That in him was life, and that life was the light of man. Jesus, when Jesus came to earth, he didn't bring light. He was the light. He always was the light. Loves pure light means that the light that shines from Jesus is not the light that we know of. It's the purest. It's like the purest expression of God's love. And I love this line, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Lord at thy birth. Think about that. That the baby in the manger is Lord. So here, Jesus didn't become Lord. He was Lord, always is, always was Lord. He was Lord from the start. And so maybe, you know, when we sing this today, and we're gonna sing this in our Christmas services when we light the candles, that we can maybe, I just think today is just to let us slow us down a little bit, maybe to hear his whisper this morning and over the next couple weeks, because it's such a rare thing for us to do anymore, slow down everybody, unfortunately, but it can do so much. And so let it fill you with this wonder of God who comes to meet us in the stillness of this moment. So let's sing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
you're singing it in the middle of something and not the end of something, right? But it's kind of neat. Here's a third one that I picked was Oh Holy Night. Okay, so I'm going to be honest with this one. I almost didn't do this one. So what I did, I researched a lot of songs, and I was going to do a couple others, but after I researched this song, I was for sure not going to do it because of the story behind it. I'm going to share the story behind this song and how it originated. It is the most unlikely thing that you'll hear today, probably, but then again, isn't God amazing that he does that? He works through it. So listen to the story behind this. It's amazing how he can do anything through anybody. So this is actually one of those stories. So this song was written in 1847 by a French poet who didn't believe in God. Okay, like, so let me explain it. So he was not a believer in Jesus. He was a poet, and the local parish priest approached him and asked him to write a poem about Jesus being born. And the guy said, sure, I'll do it. And he used Luke 2 to write this poem, okay? And so then they sang it, and this song that is sung in church has become one of the most, this is why I had to use it, it has become one of the most familiar and also most scripture-rich carols that we actually sing. But here's what happened. So years after this song became like the most popular song to sing, when church leaders found out that it was written by a man who wasn't a devout Christian, the church tried to ban the song. So they tried to ban it, but it was so, the church loved it so much, and that it just talked about Jesus so well that it lasted all the way till today that we still sing it. This is why I want to talk about it. It tells us a few things here, everybody, all right? One is that even when people who don't fully understand God, even people who don't fully understand, he can still use them. Think about Pharaoh in the Old Testament, and he can still use anybody to draw everybody closer to Jesus. Amen, everybody? Isn't that amazing to me? I just stuck out. And here's the other one that I hope encourages us. Man, God can work through the most unlikely people, can't he? To point the world to Jesus. Nothing is a barrier to our God. And I just found, the more I thought about that, actually Brandon's the one who told me to do it. I wasn't gonna do it, so you can blame him if you didn't like that story. Because he was like, man, we gotta do that story. I just thought that was an amazing story about the song. So a few lines in this song. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And I am telling you, if there is ever a description of our world today, isn't that it? It's so weary. We are weary, we are worn down. Our world is carrying so many burdens. We've caused them, everybody. Our world has caused burdens that we're carrying. We made them ourselves, and it is heavy. We feel the heaviness, but here's the thing. The arrival of Jesus creates a thrill of hope because Jesus brings joy into our weary places. And here's a deep cut. Change shall we break for the slaves of our brother. I don't know. That's not in that song, but we're in the things we have. So Jesus, he came to break chains, right? He came to break chains. He came to redeem the lost. He came to break those chains. I love that line. See, Jesus, like, he didn't come to just give us peace. He came to set us free. He came to set us free. We have a Savior who went into the darkest of places, and he brings light. One who meets us in our weakness, and he lifts our heads. So, here's the thing. We all have, or are right now, or have had chains, fear, shame, something you carry for years, burdens that you've held. But the miracle of Christmas is that Jesus still steps in. He still brings light. He still brings hope. He still frees. He still restores. And those chains shall he break. Amen, everybody? All right, let's sing this one.
Yeah.
Sing again, so think about that. We'll do a vote. Here's the last one. O come, Emmanuel. So here's why I picked this one last, okay? We originally going to do Silent Night last, but here's the thing that I found out about this song. Some of you might know this already. What's interesting about this song is that this song was not written about Jesus' birth. It was actually written more about his second coming. But we sing it at Christmas anyways, and I think it was still written to sing at Christmas, but we sing it at Christmas, and why I think it's appropriate is because Christmas is the beginning of that promise, right? The promise that he will return. So the first coming points us towards the second coming. The manger reminds us that God keeps his promises. Amen, everybody? God will keep his word, so we can trust him for what is still ahead, for what Jesus said that he is going to do. For when he will come triumphantly and he will clean all of this world up. And so we can hold on to that with the proof that he's given us with Jesus. A few lines that stick out to me. The first one is, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Emmanuel means God with us, right? And this song captures, I think this song captures like the ache of longing for God. And like the reality of waiting, like, right? Like this waiting, that like longing for his presence in these painful seasons, or maybe uncertain seasons, or seasons of waiting. And I think many of you know exactly what that's like. Maybe you're in it right now, you've come out of it. We'll have these seasons. And so here's the thing, this song, I love this song, because it points right to it, and it says, you are not alone. You are not alone in your waiting. And here's another line that stuck out to me. Free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From Satan's tyranny. So here's what we need to come into, just think about. So Christmas is not just a warm moment. It is, but it's not just a warm moment. Because listen, Jesus came to push back the darkness. That's why he came. He came to push back the darkness. Scripture is very clear that there is a real spiritual enemy who works through lies and fear and temptation and division and accusation. And listen, the word tyranny is the right word. It's the right word because that's exactly how the enemy operates. This is what it means, that he rules this world. The enemy rules a little bit of this world through pressure and oppression and convince. Here's what he tries to do. This is the tyranny that he tries to put on us. He tries to convince us that things will never change. You'll never be free from that. God is distant. God is not interested, but Jesus is God's answer. I'm coming to you. I'm coming. I am cutting through all of this and I'm coming right to you. I am entering in this battle. Isn't that awesome, everybody? I am victorious in the tyranny and over the tyranny of darkness and the enemy. I love that line. And so we could sing this line because of that. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. This call to rejoice, here it is, this call to rejoice isn't because everything is fixed yet. It's because the Savior has come and will come again. He will come again. So we could sing this right where we are, like right in the in-between. We're right in the in-between, that we sing as those who have already been rescued from sin and death but are still longing, right, everybody, for this full restoration, this full freedom that we're gonna have. So Christmas, it's just, I don't know, it's just neat to think about. Christmas anchors us in the hope both now and in the future. So let's sing this one, O come, Emmanuel.
That mountain low. Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, has ransomed captive Israel.
Praise Jesus. All right, so here's what I want to do. And then we're just ready. If you want to get your notes out, I just want to leave you with three things. Three things. I don't have them up here, so I'm going to talk slowly through them if you want to write them down. I just wanted to strip this down today and just allow these songs to just speak to us. Thank you guys for this. I thought this was great. All right, so here's the first one if you want to write these down. First thing about these carols. One, let the message of these carols shape my worship. Shape my worship, not just nostalgia. Good luck spelling nostalgia, however you want to spell it. Let the message of the carols shape my worship, not just nostalgia. So remember, like just remember that we're not singing these just because they're Christmas songs. I hope that today, I don't know, it was either a reminder or something to help you that we sing them because they declare the truth of Jesus and his mission and his message and his promise to return. Amen, everybody? So they got to shape our worship. So for us, like when we hear these songs, we're going to hear them, right? In the movies or in the stores or in the mall. Respond to this invitation. Maybe when you hear one, just to pause, reflect on that lyric. Just here's my challenge. Just let it stir worship in you right there in that moment. Old, wherever you are, just, man, let it stir worship in you. Here's the second one. Carry the hope of these songs into my everyday life. That's what we could do, right? To carry the hope of these in my everyday life. I really think one of the best gifts that these songs bring is the call to action from God to us. Like, I really think that we have hope, we have peace, right? We have confidence in the Savior who reigns and who came. And so that, I think, can allow that to break us through the ordinary. Hey, listen, man, Christmas could become so ordinary, but it could break through the ordinary when we hear the reminder of these songs. So when you feel tired, when you feel the norm, in a sense of this, when you feel either weary or anxious, wherever you're at, bring one of these lines, maybe that we talked about or that we sang today, to use it as a prayer through your day or through your week. Man, you can just pick a line in one of these songs every day to do that. Here's a third one. Share the story of these carols, right? Share the story these carols tell. This is what I thought about. These songs, or if you think about it, probably the most well-known pieces of Christian theology that the world will ever hear. Because think about this. There are a lot of people who would never sit in a church, and yet they will hum to these songs. Think about that for a second. They'll hum to these songs, maybe at a Target or Christmas party. And I just think about the opportunity of that and what it brings us. For us, maybe we can see that as an open door. If someone comments on a carol or comments on a song or sings along, maybe that can spark a short conversation that you can have with a friend or a coworker to just talk about what it means, why it matters to you, why it matters to Christmas, right? So maybe these three things can help encourage us. Was today good, everybody? How was that? Was it all right? Everybody like singing the carols? Yeah. Well, it was awesome. All right. Well, let me pray for us. So maybe let's all stand. If we all want to stand, let me pray for us. All right. All right, Jesus, thank you for coming to us. Thank you that this can be way more to us. Thank you for stepping into a weary world, that you bring joy. You bring a foundation that never shakes. You bring the world hope and light and freedom. Thank you for meeting us where we are, meeting us in the in-between of when you came and when you will come again. And so for those of us this morning that already feel that joy and feel that wonder, may it keep filling us up with that. We need messengers everywhere. Even in the church, we need those kinds of messengers. And for those of us right now this morning who are hurting, who need some hope, need some light, God, I pray that these songs maybe helped bring that in, usher that in a little bit, that maybe we could turn closer and become closer to you, Jesus, as a result of today. And just help us just bring in the truth of these songs, that we can, you've come to us, we can approach you and we can get closer to you as a result of this. Help us be encouraged. Help us to lift these songs up in a brighter, more meaningful way. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for coming to us. And we all say this together. Come on, everybody. Amen, amen. All right, everybody, have a great Sunday. Be careful, be safe out there. Share the light of these carols anywhere you go. And we'll see you see you at Christmas services. Don't forget to sign up for a service, everybody. All right,